I feel so unworthy just to stand before your presence and be able to bring your message by the help and by the grace of God and deliver it as my own soul to you as a dying man to a dying congregation. Folks, I believe it's important that we pay attention to the Lord. I thought about this sitting on the front row. I go down to the job and I come home tired. I go down to the grocery store and I come home broke.
Yeah.
I go down to the house of God. I want to come home different than that. Amen. I want to come home knowing I've been somewhere and feeling better. How many of you want to feel better than you go out and you did and you came in? Sure you do. And if we don't, something happened. Amen. Something happened. And if you go out and not feel better after we've already had the service we've had, you just didn't listen to the Lord, or you've got something in your heart troubling you, and I want to tell you about one this morning who can help you with that.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Took a load of sin off my shoulders and took it out of my heart. Praise God, set me free by His grace. And so I believe we go to the house of God, we ought to go out better. Amen.
Sure,
we ought to go out and enjoy. Praise God, some folks go around and endure and praise God, hold it on. But I want to tell you, I'm enjoying every step of the way. God, amen, give me a little heaven to go to heaven in. And He did that to you too. Praise be unto His name. All right, in the book of Romans. And verse number 18. I want us to read verses 18 through 25. I want to bring a message this morning on one little word. And it's a big word. And I've heard it mentioned. Somebody I heard mention it in Sunday school. And I heard somebody mention it just a few minutes ago. And if you don't have it, you're in trouble. I don't know how you're going to make it. Matter of fact, I don't know that you will. Matter of fact, according to the Word of God, you won't if you don't have one little word that I'm talking about today. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 18, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this world, this present time." Paul was a country boy. He said, "I reckon." Amen. You know how we talk. He said, "I reckon." Praise God. He said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation," he said, "of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Now that's a lot of words, and it's hard to comprehend, so we have to slow down. And he's going to begin to break it down for us. In verse 20, he said, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in," what's that word? Say it for me.
Hope.
Amen. Now when you see that word again, you say it with me, would you? Because that's the word I'm going to preach on this morning. Hope. Praise God, I'm glad I got some hope.
Amen.
Then he said in verse 21, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body." What Paul said is the body's not complete yet. I mean, he saved the soul, but the body still got problems. You've got problems in the body. I've got problems in the body. But Paul said that it's waiting for the adoption to wet the redemption of the body.
Amen.
Paul said it's coming a time, praise God, and that's hope, amen,
that's right,
that this body is going to be changed, amen. According to the Scriptures, it will be. Now verse 24 said, "For we are saved by
hope."
Hope, amen, you got it. But
hope,
he said, "that is seen is not
hope."
Hope, amen. "For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Amen. "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Now, if I know my arithmetic this morning, I always liked mathematics, you know, and I always failed it everywhere I went. Amen. But I tell you, I still like it. I read in 8 verses. If I read that correctly, or if I counted it correctly, there's 8 verses there. And out of those 8 verses, that word hope appears 6 times. Paul's trying to get the message over to us.
Right.
Now, let's bow our heads, and then we'll preach on hope. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you this morning for the grace of God. Lord, if it hadn't been for you and your mighty hand that was laid upon us, we'd be on our way to hell. No doubt, Father, we'd already be in hell and screaming for a drop of water to touch our parched tongue. But we're glad that you stepped off the portals of glory one day. Lord, took our place on Calvary. And now, Father, by the blood of Christ, Lord, we're glad that we have victory in Jesus. Glad, Lord, we have hope. Lord, if there's one in this building today that does not have the hope of Christ in the heart, I pray this would be the day, precious Lord, that you'd speak to their darling soul. I pray, God, that they'd humble themselves and say yes to the Lord Jesus, and this would be the day they'd be born into the very family of God to become another brother and sister in Christ to me. And Lord, as a joint heir and heir to you, Lord, I pray this one, you have your will in your way. Anoint us to preach now as a dying man to a dying congregation, and as if we wish we had, we stand before you in the presence of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now hope. Folks, I want to think about something just for a minute. And if you bear with me, faith rests on the past. Now think about that just a minute. My faith rests this morning on what Jesus has done for me on the cross of Calvary. That's where I have got my faith. My faith is trusting and resting, and I'm satisfied in Jesus in the past because that's where my faith rests. And then I look for the cares of this day and for everything. And the love of God constrains me, the Bible said, Paul said that, and the love of Christ constrains me and keeps me moving. So love of God today is good for the present, amen, and it holds me up, it keeps me, and the love of God works right now in the present that we are living in. But I'm glad, thank God, we can reach out a little further, and it's hope this morning that keeps me going, and it's hope that makes me look to the future, and it's hope that keeps me trudging on and staying in there for God. If I didn't have hope and you didn't have hope, we'd just quit and give up and be, of all men, most miserable. But I'm glad, thank God, that we can have hope in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You put your hope and your trust in Jesus and you won't fail. I'll assure you, you will not fail. You just mark it down on the authority of God's word. Brother, you will not fail if you put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Put your hope in me, I'll let you down. Put your hope in the church will let you down. Put your hope in the world, and the world will let you down. But put your hope in Jesus, praise God, and you'll get in, amen, and you'll make it through to the other side. Glory be to His name. Thank God for hope. Amen. Now let me give you something. There's some in the world that don't have hope. Let's talk about those for a minute. Now you said, preacher, is there some going to die without hope? Sure. Some will die without hope. Amen. Now let me tell you, when you draw your last breath and you stare eternity in the face, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. Amen. I mean, I want to tell you, it don't make no difference what you think about it this morning. It don't make no difference what some kind of denomination you might have told you. After you die, brother, it don't make no difference then. I mean, where you want to go to church or whatever. I mean, you can't get your preacher, you can't get your church, and the condition you die in, there's no more hope for you after you die. If you die outside God, amen. But let me tell you, as long as you've got a little breath in your body, there's a little spark of glory, a little spark of hope for you. You've got a little hope this morning if you still got breath, amen. But after you die, you don't have another opportunity. There'll never be another preacher that'll look you in the face and tell you that you can make your way from hell to heaven. There'll never be another sermon that'll ever give you the opportunity to walk down the aisle and bow on their knee on your knees before God. That'll be over. Your hope will be gone. There's going to be multitudes who will die without hope. And I preach as though everybody's got hope, and they have. As long as there's breath in the body, I'm going to preach, amen, that they have hope in Christ Jesus. But once you draw your last breath, it's over, friend. It's gone forever. The hope's gone. But I want to tell you this morning, there's hope for you today, because you don't look like you're dead to me, amen. But hope this morning. Hope does a few things. Hope this morning kind of gives a false a peace. It gives a false mockery in the Lord. There's some folks this morning that will never have any hope. That and who believe will not believe will never have any hope. Right. He may be a good man. She may be a good woman. But if she don't believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, she'll die, and he'll die without hope. Then there's another crowd. Those who choose pleasure of sin more than things of God. Those who choose to go to the world and the things of this life, they don't have any hope, and they'll die without any hope unless they turn and come back to the Son of God. Amen. There's those this morning who's stopped their ears to the truth. And that crowd today that says, I don't want Jesus. And I don't want that blood-bought religion. And I don't want preachers to scream at me. And I don't want them to tell me about a hell. I don't want them to
tell me about the blood of Christ. I don't want to hear them preaching the word of God. And they stopped their ears to the truth. That crowd this morning will die and bust hell wide open because they're sending away the day of grace and they will not have an opportunity. It's that crowd that I want to preach to. Amen. Up and down this country. It's that crowd. That crowd don't have any hope.
Right.
But hope is deceptive. The devil don't tell you that you're going to hell. He's going to tell you, I'll give you another chance after a while. He tries to mock you, mock God and bring you some false hopes. There's a lot of people who's got false hopes. Now think about them. The old atheist, he says there's no God. The Bible don't call him an atheist. The Bible calls him a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. In Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1. And the atheist said, there's no God. But I want to tell you, he may think that. He may preach that. Let me give you something, old Madeline Merrill O'Hara. Well, it's done so much damage to our country, to our nation, and to the lives of many church members. Let me tell you, that woman, she may tell you today, there's no God. But I'll tell you, when she stares eternity in the face, her old philosophies, her ideas will be like a mirage. That's yonder in the desert to a wayward stranger who's thirsty. Well, that mirage won't do anything for her then. And she's living in a deluded world, and her mind's deluded. Well, let me tell you, I'm glad I can point you to one who can give you something better than the delusions of this world. Give you some hope. God and only God can give you that hope. The old agnostic comes up running up and down the country with his books under his arms. He said, you can't prove to me that's the Bible. You can't prove to me that that's the Word of God. You really can't prove to me there's a heaven. You really can't prove to me that there's a hell. You can't really prove to me that Jesus Christ comes in and changes life. I want to tell you this morning, brother, it's that same old agnostic one of these days. He may delude himself and walk in a deluded life now, but when he closes his eyes to die, well, I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, they'll ask for some preacher to come and hold their hand while they cross over the other side, and then they'll realize it's too late and they'll die without hope. It's that crowd I want to preach to in this land. The moralist comes along. He said, if you just be good, if you just pay your tithes, and if you just be good to your neighbor, and if you just kind of walk right, and you look right, and you act right, and everything's fine, just kind of get in the moral issues and stay with the morality and stay in the issues of moral principles, then you'll be all right. But the moralist this morning, without God, dies without any hope. Amen. Then we find the religionist. He comes along. He said, I teach Sunday school. I go down to the house of God. I do this and I do that. And it's like the old Pharisee stands up and said, I pray 3 times a week and I fast and I do this and I do that. And brother, he's a religionist, and the religionist will die without hope in God. Amen. Unless he trusts Jesus Christ. Sure will. I remember a story one time. A fella told us, he said, we was visiting, and he told us, he said, I'm a member of the church. And he said, I'm a member of a... I said, are you saved? He said, I'm a member. The man to this day has never told me that he is saved. He said, I'm a member of the church. He said, I'm a member of two things. He said, I'm a member of the church and I'm a member of the Masons. He said, I belong to the Masonic Lodge. And he said, if the church don't get me in, the Masonic Lodge will. He's the type of that religionist this morning that's trusting things of this life. Beloved, I'm glad I got my trust in more than the church. I'm glad I got my trust in more than the Masonic Lodge. I'm glad I got my trust in more than the Mooses and the Gooses. I'm glad this morning, thank God, I've got my trust in Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God. Amen. I'm glad I know who I trusted as Lord and Savior. He's able to take me and to give me, amen, that which I need to get me to this old world. Now listen, hopes in this life are not lasting. They won't last. You know why the drunkard has to go back and drink again? Because the last drink didn't fully satisfy him. You know why the drug addict has to take another pill? Because the last pill didn't give him lasting peace. Why does the dope pusher, and not the pet the pusher, but the user, have to shoot dope in his veins again? Because the last shot he took just carried him for a little season, and it was over, and he's got to go back.
Right.
Why does a sex pervert have to continually go back and commit sin, and commit sin? Why? Because those hopes have no lasting joy.
Right.
And it's like drinking out of the cisterns of this world.
You know what a cistern is? It's what you catch water in. It's a basin that you hold, or maybe a whatever kind of container it is. A cistern is something that holds water. The water is not continuing to flow into it. It has to be put in it periodically. And brother, they'd run it dry. But I'm telling you this morning, the reason they have to go back is because they're drinking from a cistern. They've got to go back to what they need to do this morning is get transformed and plugged in on the fountain. Praise God, that never runs dry. Hallelujah. That never runs dry. And there's a full supply for all the people of God.
That's
why this world this morning is in the mess it's in, drinking out of cisterns and not from the fountain of life that can give us joy and peace and satisfaction. Brother, this world don't have anything to offer me. It don't want to blast in joy. It may look pretty sometimes, but it don't have anything that's going to keep me going. Now, you know why a lot of folks don't have hope, and why they're not excited about hope, and why a lot of people don't talk about hope much? Because they don't really know what hope is. The average church member don't really know what hope is. Preacher, what's hope? I want to answer that question to you this morning. And when you leave this building, I want you to be able to tell the lost man, boy, and girl what hope is. Sinner friend, if you're in this building lost without God, I want to tell you what hope is.
Yes.
What's hope, preacher? Hope is reaching out with a trembling hand and reaching out with a hand that can't help himself.
Right.
And clinging hold of and laying hold of the hand that can reach down in the gutter of sin and pick him up and take him out of it. That's what hope is. Amen.
Sure.
And that happened to me one time as a little boy when the Son of God reached down, picked me up out of the mire and the pit of sin and saved my soul and give me something down in here that I hadn't got over yet. And to be honest with you, I don't want to ever get over it. Amen. Some folks have got over it, and some folks will learn better. I just want to stay an ignoramus and stay where I'm at. I'm having a time of my life, glory to God.
Amen.
I was tanked up on God last night. I didn't go to sleep till about 2 o'clock. Got up 6:30 this morning, and I was ready to go again. I've been chomping at the bits wanting to get here. I mean, I've been wanting to preach ever since Wednesday night. Amen. I mean, we'd done it. Yes, they had that big old opening up there at Walmart. I got standing down there, and there's a big crowd. They had a big old gospel singing group down there singing. They got the singing. Now they got the talking and singing about the blood. Brother, when I knelt, the blood felt, Brother Tim, and there's a singing that, and I got standing there. I looked over a good friend of mine. And I said, brother, let's put you in preaching gear. He said, just go right ahead right here. He said, I believe we can all stand. I'm going to tell you, brother, God was bubbling my cup over. I just couldn't hardly stand it. But I want to tell you, there's some hope in this thing.
Yes, sir.
He said, boy, don't stir me like that. I wish it would.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm telling you what, you just don't know what you're missing.
Amen.
I can't contain myself. Come up the road this morning, we was listening to an old preacher preaching. He just going at it. He got talking. Boy, he got in there, and I thought I was a pretty good fella. But I got about a mile or two up the road. He done busted my bubble, and I found out I wasn't nothing. If it hadn't been for driving, I'd have tried to crawl under the seat. He done such a good job on me. I looked over there. There's tears running down the face of the wife. She done had her glasses off. She's wiping her eyes. I guess she done tore up all the makeup she'd put on, and she's done wiping her eyes. And always having a good time coming up the road. I want to tell you, friend, this morning you're missing something that you don't have if you don't have Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The best life you'll ever have. Is that life in the Lord? What is hope, preacher? Hope is building your life on a foundation, brother, that will never crumble. And the world cannot sustain it. And the world can't comprehend it. And the world can't tear it down. Building your life and building your hopes and your dreams. I mean, we went down and built a little house, and they got a good foundation. If you don't have to start off with a good foundation, you'll be in trouble, and you'll be sorry for it. Amen?
Yes,
and so same thing with the spiritual life today. If you don't build your life on the firm foundation, the rock, which is called Christ this morning, the only foundation, the true foundation, the real foundation, the chief cornerstone, the Lamb of God. If you don't build on Him, you'll sink. Amen? When the storms come, your house will fall, and great will be the fall of it, because you didn't anchor yourself on the rock which is called Christ. Amen.
Amen.
What's hope, preacher? Hope is holding this morning your head above water through the grace and power of God. I've heard people say, church going down, preacher. Church going down. You ever stop thinking about this? Let me just stop and insert something. I'm going to preach this. Amen. I mean, it's coming from all angles. I don't know where I'll get through or not, but you listen to me a minute. I've been pastoring for right at 20 years. or not at pastor 20 years, but right at 18 years I've been pastoring. 18 and a half. And right in that area, I've seen this happen in about every church I've been in. And if you'll stop and think about it, you've seen it in every church you've been in. The church will get to the place and start climbing up the mountain for God, and it'll get up to a certain plateau and a certain level, and she'll level off.
Yeah.
Then the devil starts chewing at the coattail of the church, and the church begins to go back down to a certain place. But it never goes back to where it was. It just goes to a certain place, and somehow the saints cling on to something on the cleft of the rock,
right,
and they stay there and dig their toenails in the rock of Jesus this morning, and they stay there.
Sorry.
And the devil, he stands off in the corner and laughs when he looks like it's going down. And then the saints of God just persevere and stay with God. And the next thing you know, they start climbing back up. And this time they'll climb to a higher peak than they were the time before. They may fall back down just a little bit, but they'll keep climbing. Well, that's the Christian life. We can do it, climb up and keep pressing on. No wonder Paul said that. We got to keep a climbing. Amen. When storms come and adversities come, we just got to dig in and stay with the storm and just ride out the storm. Praise God, the storm will be over after a while. Hope, hope. You know what hope is? Hope is that which keeps our head above water. Church is going down, I've heard them say. No, sir. Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus was the head of the church. As long as you keep the head above water, you don't drown, do you? How many of you go swimming, stick your head in, stick your feet out, and keep your feet out and swim with your head underwater? Be foolish, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, the church, the head of the church is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's in heaven, and as long as the church is above water, thank God, we're not going down.
Amen.
He's the head of the church.
Yes.
Praise God. I think about it, I'm going out there to fish, and I never fish, but I see these fellows go fish out yonder in the trout streams. I see them fish over yonder without. But when I go fishing, I got to go take me a little cork, amen, or a float. And I stand there, all I can catch is little fishes like this, amen. And so I stand there, and I wait for the, I'm in that old float stand. You know what that float's there for? It's the hole, the hook, and all that's on the hook, the bait, it's to hold it off the bottom.
That's right.
And it's to let me know when I get a nibble. Well, praise God. Hope of the child of God is that float that keeps us above and keeps us from sinking in the mires and the degradation of sin that this world throws at us this morning. Amen. Praise God. We got our head in heaven. We don't have to worry about it. The billows may roll and the thunder may roll and the lightning may flash, but brother Jesus can keep us above water and we can swim through the troubled storms of life. Brother, we've got hope in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let the devil say boo. Let him do what he wants to. We got him. We got hope in Jesus Christ. And as long as we lay hold on that, we'll be all right. Hope is the pilot of the ship, brother. Hope is the pilot of our vessel that's leading us through an unfriendly world. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's going to come a time and a day when the enemies of God are going to be put down. Now, you think about that just a minute. There's going to come a time when the enemies of God are going to be put down. They've cursed God. They've lied against God. They've made fun of God. They've done all sort of things against God. But there's going to come a time when God's going to have the last word. You said, looks like God is mighty slow in His opinions. Looks like God is very slow in His judgments. Looks like God's very slow in everything He does. It's took ages for God to unfold what He wants to will for man. It took ages for Him to reveal the Son of God. But He did it just like He said He's going to. And brother, God is on a different time clock. His clock's bigger than mine, and His clock's bigger than yours. And beloved, don't ever forget that. God don't operate on your schedule. God don't operate on my schedule. He operates on His own time clock and His own time schedule. And we better line up with Him or we're going to be in a mess.
Yes, sir.
Now that's how He operates it. Brother, this morning, one of these days, the enemies are going to be put down. The sorrows are going to be wiped away, and the tears are going to flee forever, because I got hope. I got some hope. Praise God, I got some hope.
Yes.
Troubles come, and you're not exempt from them, and I'm not either. The devil start gnawing on our families. The devil start gnawing on our jobs at us. The devil starts gnawing at us and trying to get us to turn and go in a different direction. The devil does that, but I'm glad, thank God, through the midst of it all, we got some hope.
Yes, sir.
We got some hope, and we don't have to fall. Brother, we don't have to listen to the devil and his crowd. We can rise above that and say, oh God, it's hope in you that keeps me motivated and keeps me going. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hope this morning. Just think about it. Hope is seeing the unseen. Right. You know why so many people can't really serve God? They haven't seen Him.
Right.
They trust people because they've seen people. But they won't trust God because they have not seen God. Brother, that's the reason a lot of people don't trust the Lord. They haven't seen Him.
Right.
I praise God. I've seen the unseen captain of the host.
Yes.
Praise God. You said, preacher, how do you know there's a heaven? You ain't seen it. Where have you been? Where in the world have you been all your life? You said, preacher, you ain't seen heaven. How do you know you're going to heaven? Praise God, because I got some hope. And by hope, I've seen it.
Amen.
Hey, man, I've done seen enough of the celestial city of God to know that I'm a citizen now of another world. Did I look like a country boy going to the city? Look me over. I am. Praise God. I moved down yonder in Atlanta, Georgia one time. Moved out of Habersham County. Moved down to Atlanta. Boy, I felt funny all the years I was there. I sure was glad the little country boy got to move out of the city. But I'm looking forward. I've never looked forward to going back to the city and moving in and living again. But there's one city, glory to God. I can't hardly wait. I'm getting ready. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. One of these days, I'm going to move in to the celestial city of God. A country boy moving to worlds unknown, to a city.
Yes, sir.
I ain't seen it. But I've got enough hope already that I know one of these days I'm going to shake the hands of the angels and have me a hallelujah spell and sit down at the foot of my Savior and praise Him while the ceaseless ages roll on. I got some hope. Amen. You got any? You got any hope? Praise God. I got some hope. I'm going somewhere. You said you don't look like much. You just wait that a while, amen. You'll change your mind about me one of these days. You said, preacher, there's some things I don't like about you. I could probably say the same thing about you. But you just wait. You'll never find a blemish and a spot on me one of these days when I move in the city.
That's right.
Why? I got some hope.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hope allows the disciples of Christ to have joy in the midst of tribulation. Hope allows a martyr to cry and praise God and shout in the midst of his martyrdom like old Stephen was in the book of Acts. Amen. Hope brings the rich grapes of heaven down to the parched soul and lips of man who's walking through an unfriendly world. Praise God. Hope this morning, it pours the healing oil, brother, from the throne of God on the head of that that's discouraged. Hope this morning keeps me going. Hope keeps me moving. Hope keeps me excited. Amen. Hope. Hope. Where'd you get it? I got it from the Lord.
Right.
Is there any more? Amen. There's plenty. Praise God. There's plenty for you. Hope just it just scatters the darkness of death when death comes over me one of these days. Brother, when it's time for me to leave and the shadow steps in, praise God, hope's going to take that by the hand, or take me by the hand and say, praise God, I want to point you one to the light of the resurrection. And the light of the resurrection, the Son of God, will dispel the darkness of death, and I can travel through and shout the victory. Hallelujah.
Right.
I may not mean much to you, but does to me.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad I got some hope. You said, oh, but I sure do dread that day of dying. Well, I don't want to die today, but I've got assurance in the Word of God that He's going to give me some hope, and I've got that hope. And He's going to give me some help when it comes time to go. Hey, you ever seen a saint come up to the dying bed knowing he's fixing to cross over? Hey, man, you ever watch this now? You ever seen him have the time on the bed because they're moving into celestial land? No. I've heard of where they had to hold them on the bed because the fires of hell was already burning their feet and they could feel the flames of fire and hell forever. And I've heard testimonies of those who had to be held on the bed to die without God.
Yes,
I've also heard the testimonies of the saints of God said, praise God. There he is.
Amen.
There's the angels.
Amen.
Where? Where, Mama? Right there. Oh, well, the angels. Hey, I mean, they got excited.
Yes, sir.
And they've left this world praising God because the heavenly limousines, amen, yes. God's heavenly court, praise God, done come together.
Yes.
He's going to come at me Wednesdays.
Right.
Glory to God, that stirs my soul. Going to come at me. I see them right up and down the road in them old limousines. Amen. Praise God. You just wait. I've never rode one of them things, and I'm not talking about a hearse. I'm talking about a limousine. God's not coming after me in a hearse. Amen. I got news for you. Amen. I mean, He ain't coming at the dead. Amen. That's what you haul in a hearse. He's coming after me in a heavenly limousine. I'm going to give me a ride to glory. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm highly intoxicated. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get me a ride to glory.
Yes,
He's coming after me. I got some hope. Praise God, you got hope in this life only. You're miserable. You're in bad shape. And I'm glad I've got something this morning. Bring some excitement. Hope brings excitement. You know why I'm excited? Well, I got hope. Now, just about a year ago, that hope was kind of dim. I had it behind a bushel. Amen. I had it hidden. Oh, I know that's saved. Boy, ever since about a year ago, almost ain't hardly been a year ago, come this April, Brother God put a spark of hope down in my soul, begin to let that old fire begin to burn up. And I've seen things in the last few months I've never seen in my life. Amen. You said you done gone crazy. Just leave me alone. Amen. I'm having a time of my life. I'm enjoying it. Amen. My job looks better. My home looks better. My church looks better. My life sure is better because I'm having a time. Glory to God. Amen. He gave me something. He sparked those revival fires and I got a little hope. I know. Hope brings joy.
Yes.
You know why some folks are not very happy? Most Christians are walking around, I meet them, you know, you walk up and say, praise God, and I say, yeah, praise God, amen.
Yes.
I mean, if you can get that much out, we don't even give a holy grunt unto God. We're scared somebody's going to look at us and label us. We're afraid that we're going to look. I said this Wednesday night, I believe, there's two extremes. Some folks, they prayed that they waved their hands and shouted a little bit and praised God. They'd think we'd done joined up with that old crowd over yonder that speaks in tongues and all this crowd. But I want to tell you something. Where'd that crowd get it to start with? Amen. We told them about it. Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
That's where they got it.
Right.
I don't care how high you jump, how loud you shout, as long as you hit the ground talking right where we can understand you, amen, and go out on your job living right.
Right.
Praise God, this bunch of jabber, 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 that's never been right, never come from God, amen.
Right.
Now you can take that what's worth, and you can go on and chew on that, you can smoke that, you smoke every other brand, just go on and chew on that a while. But you mark her down, brother, you mark her down from the Word of God. God wants His people to be happy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. My wife comes in like this sometimes from work. And I say, honey, what's wrong? She said, well, this is no good. I'm tired. Just leave me alone. You men know what I'm talking about. I said, all right. And that's what I come on. I said, honey, what can I do? I mean, can I help you? What can I do? Here we are, everybody. And after a while, she'll break down and start telling me about it, you know. And I said, well, and then she goes to smile. You see, the reason I'm concerned is because that's not her natural state.
Right.
I don't want my wife going around like you're going.
No.
I mean, it's bad enough. I know it's a terrible thing to have to live with me. I realize it, but it shouldn't be that bad. Amen.
Right.
And I don't want it. I don't want to walk around like that all the time and her soul friend. I mean, she's really got a real reason, amen, to rejoice and praise God all the time, just being saved.
Yes.
Not living with me, but being saved.
Yes.
And so when she gets sad, I want to try to help her. My little girl, she got her. Just look at her. She's smiling now because she's putting on front. But sometimes she puffed up like this. And I said, what's wrong? No. You sure? I mean, you look pretty, you know, to have nothing wrong with you. Praise God. Now, I'm getting down to where we live because that's where we all are.
Yes, sir, brother. Sure.
We get that way. And I come in sometimes just to drag and boy, I sure. Now that's not natural. God don't want us to be that way. And I know troubles bother us and things bother us. And I said that because that's in the physical way we walk.
Sure.
Well, let's get it down to where we live. God wants His people to be happy.
Yes, sir.
And God wants us to rejoice. When we go down to the house of God, we just go in about like this. We drag in.
We might drag out just not, maybe we may not be dragging as big, but we still drag.
Yeah.
And then we go out on our job and we drag on.
That's right.
And we our life's a big drag.
Yes, sir.
Say amen right
amen.
There. And we got some points there, didn't we?
Amen.
But just think about it. God don't want us to be that way.
No, sir.
But preacher, we get too excited. Hey, some folks learn better.
Mm-hmm.
I've never learned better. And I don't want to learn better.
No, sir.
I want to give you a scripture. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to quit in just a minute. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. The Bible said, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, if your country is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. If you've been off to college, you call it Bartimaeus. If you're a country boy, you call it Bartimaeus. You've heard it preached both ways, haven't you? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now you would have done that too. If you'd been on the highway side begging, you couldn't see, and you'd already heard some good reports of somebody been traveling through, you would have said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
What's that crowd coming down the road? What's that noise I hear? I can't see, but what's that noise? They said, it's Jesus. He said, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You sure that's who it is? Yes, that's who it is. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knew something was going to happen if Jesus come near.
Yes.
Now, he is sitting down beside a bunch of dead Baptists. Now, you watch this. In verse number 47, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shh. Don't say nothing. Oh, Jesus. It's just Jesus. Don't get alarmed. Don't get disturbed. It's just Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Boy, if he'd have held his peace, he'd have went home blind.
Yes, sir, brother. He sure would.
But he said, hey, praise God, don't tell me to hold my peace. Amen. Jesus, have mercy on me. And the Bible said Jesus stood still.
Amen.
When you see one day, as a little boy, I sit on the end of a pew.
Amen.
Praise God, blind on my way to hell.
Amen.
I didn't know any better. I mean, I didn't realize. I was lost that morning when that preacher preached to me.
Right.
Got me under conviction. I got up, walked down the aisle, bowed on my knees before God. He saved my sin-tossed soul.
Amen.
Put something in there I hadn't got over. But I want to tell the world, brother, Jesus done this for me.
Amen.
I don't want to hold my peace. I want to tell the world what he's done for me.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Mm. Can't help it. You can't help it. I can't. I just ain't gonna say a word. Praise God. You can't help it. You leave me alone. I can't help it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just crazy. Amen. But I love the Lord. He gives us some excitement. He gives us peace of mind, peace of heart.
Yes.
Hope is a helmet in the battle to protect your mind. Hope is the anchor in the storm to keep us steadfast. Hope is the companion that travels with us day after day. My wife's been with me a many a mile. Brother, it's been a blessing to have my companion with me, to go from church to church, meeting to meeting. And it's a joy to have her, and I miss her when she's not in service with me. But I'll tell you, there's one who I've had as a friend that's sticking closer than a brother, who's never left me. Brother, when my wife couldn't help me, that companion went with me and helped me and took care of me. That's what hope is.
Yeah.
A lost man or woman don't have that hope.
Right.
Without hope, I'd just quit and go home. Praise God, this morning I'm glad I got some hope.
Amen.
Now, preacher, how do you get that hope?
In Jesus Christ through His shed blood.
Right.
You don't get it through me. You don't get it through the church, but you get it through Jesus. I just thought of a scripture. Let me find it. Let me find it. The Holy Spirit just revealed me or reminded me of a scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5. We'll close with this one. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, two things I would point out right there. He said that hope is laid up. I got some hope on the other side, but a moth
won't eat it.
Rust won't wear it out. Corrosion won't eat it up. Thieves won't steal it. I got some hope on the other side, glory to God.
Yeah.
I got some. It's laid up. Where's that? It's in the bank of heaven, right? God got locked up in the vault. Amen. Give me some hope. Glory to God for some hope. Amen. Hope. Then he said, here's how I got it. Whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. How did I do it? Through the gospel. I heard the gospel.
And I said yes to the Lord Jesus. And he gave me some hope. I didn't have it before. But once I heard and believed Jesus, I got some hope.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have any hope this morning.
That's right.
It'd be bad to go through this world and get down the end of the road and not have Jesus and then die and go to hell. It'd be bad. It'd be bad to spend our life. It'd be bad to spend our life and just the bare essentials of life and just barely make it. How the trials that everybody has and the things that you notice, then come down to the end of the journey and not have any hope and die without God. Now, it'd be bad. But if you're in this building, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you don't have any hope. And you won't have any hope till you come to Him. Right now, always stand on our feet right quickly and very quietly. We're going to cry out to God. And ask God to help us with our hope.